Hey guys, welcome back to Reality TV. I hope you had a wonderful weekend, capped off by 3 hours of amazing television on TLC. We had a fairly boring, if I'm going to be honest, Tell All Part 2 for 90 Day Fiancé, and then a 2-hour season finale of Sister Wives. Cut far too short, in my opinion, but we'll talk about that later. I need to talk about two things that are just overflowing in my mind right now. The first thing being the Prince Philip funeral. Most of you know how much I love anything having to do with the royals. It's just very nostalgic for me. I know it can be problematic, you know, the whole patriarchy and hierarchy. That all aside, I think it's just romantic and not whimsical. It's just, you know, I don't know, the pomp and circumstance of it all. I get into it and just everything is so perfect. And maybe that feeds to my type A personality that everything's just very symmetrical and planned and tidy. I just love all of it. So seeing the family all come together, sorry, I'm hitting my little zipper here. No complaints in my iTunes reviews, which I'll talk about in a moment too, because holy shit, some of you guys are really gunning for me. But anyway, back to the royals. There is a photo of Kate Middleton, and it is one of the most beautiful photos of anyone that I've ever seen. You see just a bit of this beautiful, kind of old-fashioned looking car, and she's got the hat on and the little lacy thing that hangs down in front, and she's got just the touch of pearls. It's such a beautiful shot. And I don't care if you are a Meghan stan and you don't like Kate. Yes, I disagree with you, but listen, we can all get along here. If you have a stance on Meghan, obviously you're into like the royal realm anyway. The whole thing was just beautiful, and I feel for the queen because, you know, she misses her husband, and the whole thing with a note on the casket, I'm going to have to talk about this some other time, or someone, Catherine, in her Facebook group, I consider you our English correspondent. Let's talk about this royal funeral because it definitely satisfied my craving of everything royal. Now, I want to bring up this other thing that I read in, I didn't even mean to do this, but I read it in UK Daily Mail. That's my favorite go-to place. My girl Carrie from, oh, now it's not Sip and Shine, actually. Check out Misdeeds and Intrigue on your favorite podcast app. Carrie and Larissa have teamed up now, and they really go into a lot of the royal stuff, a lot of scandals. Go check it out. But anyhow, Carrie introduced me to the world of UK Daily Mail, and I have never looked back. And they are hot on the trail of this thing that happened over the weekend with Demi Lovato and the yogurt shop in LA called The Big Chill. In a nutshell, she went into this yogurt shop and she went on Instagram, tagged the yogurt place and said that they are, what was the word she used or the phrase? It was diet culture vultures because they had sugar-free cookie options. And that's not what she wants when she goes into a yogurt shop, is to be triggered about her eating disorder that she had. Now, I mean, I don't think this yogurt shop is out to get her or out to trigger anyone. And sugar-free cookies may not be a diet thing. It could be a health thing or a diabetic thing. All that to kind of bring this around to something that triggered me this weekend, or actually that triggered someone else. Last week, I was talking about the Tell All Part 1, right, with 90 Day Fiancé. And someone sent me a screenshot of a review I got on iTunes that said I'm basically pro-rape, that I excused Stephanie's sexual assault that occurred, which I barely know about. I know there's something with, not Harris, with Ryan not wearing a condom and she's suing TLC. I don't know the whole ins and outs of it. So I didn't talk about it. And also I didn't talk about it because Stephanie wasn't on the Tell All Part 1. And somehow that turned into me triggering this person into thinking I love rape, that I'm super into female sexual assault, which clearly is not the case. So, I mean, if you guys want to go to iTunes and give me a 5-star review and reiterate the fact that I do not enjoy anyone getting assaulted in any way, shape, or form, that would be great. But what I'm trying to say is, I'm the yogurt shop here, okay? I'm sorry if I triggered you. That's not my intent. But you know what you're coming here for. I'm going to be snarking about things, just like the yogurt shop is going to be serving up a variety of sweet treats. I give you the salty stuff, they give you the sweet, all right? So I'm sorry, Stephanie fan. I think she is great TV. I hate the thought of her getting assaulted. I don't know anything about it, but the reason I didn't talk about it is because Stephanie wasn't on the tell-all. All right, said and done, moving on. Now, Amanda and I, on our soon-to-be-launched, very soon, We Love to Hate Everything, I'm going to put a little link to subscribe to it in the show notes. We are going to be talking about 90 Day Fiancé over there because finally, Amanda has jumped on the bandwagon. She is in deep with all the 90 Day Fiancé journeys. She's caught up on Daniela Mohammed, Nicole and Azin, Colty, who else? Asuelu and Kalani, all of them. Big Ed, you name it. She is now face first into this stuff. So we're going to be watching Happily Ever After and probably the Pillow Talks that are on Discovery Plus. Not a full recap of all those episodes, but we're definitely going to be talking 90 Day Fiancé. So if you're missing me over here as I'm going to maybe once or twice a month episodes, kind of scaling down a little bit over here to try to keep up with my real life, we will be talking about 90 Day Fiancé as well as anything else we want to talk about. Which leads me to what we're doing this week, and I'm nervous and embarrassed about this. This Tuesday, that's a special Tanya for anyone who subscribes to our Patreons. We are going to be doing a 420 episode where I am going to be, hopefully not, but I know everyone's cheering this on. I'm getting nervous. I'm stumbling over my own words. Amanda wants to try to get me high on 420. So I went to a dispensary because it's legal here in Illinois, and I got this little disposable vape thing. We'll see what happens. So that is going to be on We Love to Hate TV and Total Request Podcast. So if you're subscribed to one, you're going to get it no matter what. That's at tiers two and above. And on We Love to Hate TV this week, we're going to be covering the latest episodes of Teen Mom OG and Seeking Sister Wife. God, that show's so good. And on Total Request Podcast this week, we are going to be watching Season 1, Episode 3 of A Teacher. I've never seen it, but man, that sounds really scandalous and amazing. And Season 1, Episode 7, I think it's called Red in the Face, of Mad Men. I've seen only one episode, the pilot, and I'm interested to see where this goes because I hate to say it, but Jon Hamm is pretty freaking hot. I'm late to the game with that, as I am with everything, hence why we're doing a 420 episode. So all that business out of the way, and you're probably going to iTunes right now being like, Joni's such a stoner. One star. Let's go to 90 Day Fiancé Tell All Part 2. Let's jump in with Andrew and Amira because not a lot happened, unfortunately, with these two. Now, we all know that Andrew has had a problematic season and problematic past. I can't say too much, but I do have very good sources who are close to this situation. I have to be very careful here. But let's just say Andrew would not be a newbie to abusive relationships, allegedly. You know, maybe you can look it up, maybe you can't, but let's just go from what we see on the show. He doesn't seem to be the greatest guy. He can move on very quickly. The entire cast, though, sitting on the stage, doesn't know anything about Andrew except probably, what, the first 80% of the season? Because if Yara didn't see all that stuff about Jovi, I'm guessing they probably had this tell-all filmed when they still had a couple episodes left to be aired, right? So they're seeing Andrew as this maybe down on his luck, Renaissance fair, magician suit wearing guy who lives with his mom. So they have a little pity for him. They think he's just a normal guy who maybe looks worse than he thinks he does. they don't totally believe Amira then, because she flubbed her lines on this text message comment. And maybe she did have a few text messages from Andrew, which is more than she originally said. But immediately they're on Amira that she's not being truthful, because she said she didn't get any messages from Andrew. And then she said she didn't have that many. Does it really matter? Because we've seen him at the resort in Cancun or wherever, having the time of his freaking life. Never did he go and ask someone to call the consulate or to call the Mexico City airport. It was very easy for him to find anyone who spoke the native language in Mexico, but he didn't do it. He's having steak dinner. He's going to the cigar bar. No one's seeming to remember that. That alone, for me, the fact that he stayed there and had a grand time would be proof enough that he's not the best guy. But never mind all of that, because Andrew is bolting out of there like a big old, I want to say, manipulative baby. Because ultimately, what he wants to do is control the narrative. He wants to be able to control Amira by probably shutting her up and talking over her and not letting her speak her side of it. That's the only reason he demands to be in the room when they're speaking. Talk about, once again, bringing the correlation or the comparison to kids. Remember when he was like, Amira, I know kids that listen better than you, or whatever the comment was. Well, I know kids who will maybe not get their way, but follow the rules. When you have a whole production team here that's like, listen, we're here to film. She doesn't feel safe with you. She's going to speak her thing, and then you can come out and speak yours. But he's the one who's demanding and putting his foot down and pouting to get his way. And it didn't work, because then he went home. I think that's the stupidest thing he could have done, because the one producer was even telling him, listen, the rest of the cast is all on your side. They're sticking up for you. So the best thing he could have done was let Amira say what she needed to say. They would have said goodbye to her. And then he could have come on the stage and he would have had the last word. So the fact that he took off, I think that made him look worse in our eyes, at least. Probably not for everyone who's there, because again, I don't think they've seen the full picture. Maybe Rebecca, though, because Rebecca was kind of speaking up for Amira there. But the rest of them would have been on his side. Is it weird that Amira is already with someone and in love with someone and either here or coming here on a K-1? Sure, but a lot of them would have done the exact same thing, let's be honest. Now let's talk about Tariq and Hazel. They got most of the time, and it was all about their polyamory, this polyamorous lifestyle, which blows everyone's mind on the stage. I have a hard time believing Mike isn't into threesomes. Like, he hasn't jerked off and pulled up porn on his phone, jerked off to it. And as if Jovi has never actually participated in a threesome, please. It's 2021. And even if me, a former Catholic prude, isn't fazed by this at all, that's saying a lot. Ziad was the one who actually cracked me up the most, because he was just giggling. He thought it was the most scandalous, silly thing he's ever heard. I bet you he hasn't even heard of a threesome. It was just really funny. He's giggling. He doesn't even know what to say. I mean, otherwise, everything was just a lame attempt at a shocking reveal, you know, Minty calling in and, oh no, she thinks Hazel's jealous. And then we come to find out they never even slept together. None of the three of them slept together. And then Tariq said something like, yeah, we only met up one day or one night and nothing happened. Okay, so why are you guys on the show? What was the big plot twist? This is just stupid, okay? Hazel was made out to be like this bitter wifey because she's so uptight, and turns out she's not at all, and they seem to be pretty happy. Tariq wasn't totally truthful, and he's got to wise up and be more honest with his wife. She's a lot smarter than he gives credit for, but what are you going to do? I think they're just leaving things very in the gray because they want another season on this show. I'm a creature of habit, and you know I'm obsessed with organization and streamlining. Ritual multivitamins have made our mornings around here so much easier now that they have multivitamins for all ages. I used to have these massive pill organizers to keep all the vitamins and supplements organized, but just this past weekend, I sized down. Why? Because Ritual multivitamins contain all the key nutrients in two fresh-tasting, delayed-release capsules. No synthetic fillers or colorants, just the highest quality nutrients scientifically designed for men and women and for every life stage, including pre and postnatals. Now, when I was pregnant, I would have killed for Ritual to deliver to my door because not only was it not fun to get out to the store while 9 months pregnant in the winter, but also because I was nauseous from hormones. That's what I thought at the time, but during a later pregnancy, I figured out it was the fish oil in all of those prenatal vitamins that I was taking. Fast forward to me taking them during different times of the day and a lot of trial and error. Ugh. Had I gotten those omega-3s from microalgae, how Ritual serves them up, I would have saved myself from feeling gross all the time. My favorite thing about Ritual is their sourcing of omega-3 DHA from algae instead of fish oil. I do not miss that gross aftertaste. And as I had mentioned before, if you're watching your sugar intake like Dave is now because he's diabetic, no worries because Ritual doesn't sneak in added sugars, just transparently sourced ingredients in one capsule containing both oily and dry ingredients. Start your Ritual today. Get my favorite multivitamin delivered to your door every month or however often you like because Ritual makes it easy to skip, snooze, or cancel anytime. And if you don't love Ritual within your first month, they'll refund your first order and you'll save even more when bundling. So get key nutrients without the BS. Ritual is offering my listeners 10% off during your first 3 months by visiting ritual.com/reality TV to start your Ritual today. The link is always in the show notes. That's ritual.com/reality TV. Now, moving along to Mike and Natalie and Mike's friend Sarah. This is the one that Natalie accused Mike of sleeping with, that it was Sarah's night before her wedding and Mike and her slept together. Now, I actually think they may have slept together at some point, but I don't think he slept with her or she slept with him the night before their wedding. When Sean asked Sarah what she thinks about Mike and Natalie, she gave a very nice but honest answer. I mean, she really could have gotten nasty, and although she talked about a time where they got in a fight before, she kept it above par for the most part. She just basically said, you know. I don't think they're totally compatible. I think Natalie is a more serious person and Mike is very happy-go-lucky. He's always joking around. I mean, I just can't see him being that funny of a person, but whatever. So let's talk about this night in question. The night before Sarah's wedding, when Natalie thinks Mike slept with her. Sarah clarifies that Mike was at her house, that he flew in for the wedding, but she had a lot of people staying at her house. He was just one of the people who had gotten there that night, as everyone else did, and her fiancé was supposed to spend the night there, but he ended up sleeping at his own place. I would love to get into that because it sounds like someone got in a fight before their wedding, but maybe that's for another tell-all. But according to Natalie, she called Mike in the morning. They were FaceTiming, and he answered, and he was naked, or at least shirtless. And that she heard Sarah in the background saying, Mike, I'm going to go get in the shower. And Sarah said, well, that's very likely it might have happened. I have no idea if Mike was naked. Thank God for that. But she's like, yeah, I had a lot of people in the house, so it is very likely that I might have said, hey, I'm getting in the shower if anyone's looking for me. That makes perfect sense to me. Natalie tried to kind of shut the hell up at this point and duck out of the misunderstanding because clearly she knew she interpreted this entire situation incorrectly. But Sean then asked if Sarah thought this was a match made in heaven or something along those lines. And then we learn that Sarah really didn't have any issues with Natalie until they spoke for the first time. They weren't very specific about this timeline, but Sarah said she was picking up the cake with Mike. So I'm guessing she picked up her own wedding cake after that shower, after that call this morning. So Natalie had a good what, hour or two just to stew and think about how she was going to scream at Mike and confront Sarah. So Mike ends up asking her, worst thing he could have thought of that day. He thought it would be a great opportunity for Sarah to FaceTime with Natalie on the way to go pick up the cake. So he rings her up and Natalie proceeds to ask Sarah on her wedding day if she was a whore like all American girls. Now, first of all, I take that as a compliment. Thank you, Natalie, because that's one word I've never been called. Don't mind if I do. But Sarah obviously was upset. And again, I wish they would have reiterated the timeline because obviously this had to have been on her wedding day. The fact that Natalie called someone up and asked them if they were a whore on their wedding day, and then to double down and deny it and say, I never said that, was, again, a stupid move. Just like Andrew, the thing to do is confront it head on. She should have said, yes, I did say that and it was a horrible thing, but I thought he had slept with you that night and I should have never said that. But no, she sits there with her big runaway bride doe eyes thinking that's going to work, but that only works with Mike. We know that. No one believed her. There was nothing she could do. So she's just grasping for straws, not wanting to own up to her lie. And Sarah owned her ass. And it felt really good for once to have someone just as quick as Natalie. Mike was never that quick, that she just called her on it. So she's like, no, you did. You really did. There's absolutely no reason I would make that up. Now, Mike's sitting there. He didn't know which side to take on it. And he's so smug. I don't like Mike anymore. I like him, I guess, I don't like him better than Natalie. They both suck. He's just very smug, and Natalie really did deserve everything she got, all the shade she got, and for Sarah calling her on it because she was just wretched and self-righteous, and that's a horrible thing to ask someone, especially on their wedding day. So now at the very end of the episode, they show all the couples getting into their coats and shoes and leaving. Yeah, you heard me. That's what we had to watch 5 minutes of, people putting on their coats and walking out to cars. But they did that because they had to have some time for people to do some voiceovers, like, oh, all the couples that are going to be on Happily Ever After, where they're like, I just don't know. We fight all the time. I think I'll just fly back to Ukraine. Or I don't know if we have what it takes. Our feelings change all the time. He's and she's not who I thought they were before. You know, all these stupid things that are supposed to be cliffhangers to make us watch the next season, which we all will anyway. But it was a pretty lame attempt, even for TLC to be doing this. I mean, come on, you guys. You just spent 3 hours of a tell-all showing us how happy Jovi and Yara are for the most part, minus the strip club thing. And now all of a sudden we're supposed to be like, oh, she's going to flee in the middle of the night with the baby to go fly back home. Come on now. Like I said, will I be watching it? Yeah, I will, because I'm in this far, just like I did with the series Lost. I was in that long and that deep. I have to see it through, just like I do with The Housewives. Guess what? Green Chef is now owned by HelloFresh. So a wider variety of meals and plans to choose from means that there's something for everyone. I love switching between the brands, and now my listeners can enjoy both brands at a discount with me. After I tried HelloFresh for the first time back in February, I used my own promo code, and we've been getting HelloFresh delivered almost every week. And you know how frugal I am and how insanely picky my kids are. Add on top of that fun meal planning, Dave has to cut down on his carbs and sugars. So here we are, several weeks in, and I still love HelloFresh. Plus, I've actually saved on my grocery bill every week. Hand to God, my favorite cashier at my local Jewel Osco commented last week that my receipt hasn't been as long lately. Oh, Ben, he knows how to make me swoon. We're basically besties. So listen, you're probably like Jody, there's no way a box with 2 to 4 meals you get to choose, there's no way that costs less than going to the grocery store, but it does. And I'm going to tell you why. You're not overbuying and you're not wasting anything. And the portions are still huge. You know that's the truth when Dave and I go for seconds and there's still food left over for lunch the next day. There's a reason why HelloFresh is America's number one meal kit. And I'm going to let you in on another secret. As hard as I work to plan out the week's dinners, stuff always comes up and the game plan changes, right? So go ahead, order out or skip dinner because HelloFresh's fresh ingredients are sourced directly from the growers and delivered delivered from the farm to your door in under a week. So you don't have to cook your meals as soon as they're delivered, in almost entirely recyclable materials, by the way. I get two meals delivered every Tuesday, and I just made a meal last week on Monday night. So that's almost a week later. It was a vegetarian meal, almond, apricot, and chickpea tagine. All vegetables and everything was perfectly fresh. Nothing was wilting or mushy. And although that meal was a little more adventurous for us, we tend to be a protein-loving family. So last week, we ordered Surf and Turf. It was a hibachi sweet soy bavette steak and shrimp. And oh my God, that's for sure a favorite for now. We went to town on the shrimp, even Paige, and we had probably 10 to 15 good-sized shrimp left over. I'm telling you, the portions of these meals is really something. Now, if you have different tastes than we do, guys, there's more than 25 choices to choose from every week, and that changes. There's quick pan recipes to throw in the oven, vegetarian options, takeout-style meals like orange chicken that we're getting delivered this week. I have everyone in my family look at the menu, let me know what you want for the following week, and that's how I order. Like I said, I'm getting the orange chicken with jasmine rice ordered this week and firecracker meatballs with green beans. Oh, and if you have a little stinker like I do, Charlie, add on a dessert like break and bake Oreo cookies or mini cheesecakes, and no one will be complaining through dinner, trust me. Go to HelloFresh.com/RealityTV12 and use code RealityTV12 for 12 free meals, including free shipping. Let me repeat, 12 free meals and free shipping. I put the link in the show notes to make it even easier for you. That's HelloFresh.com/RealityTV12 and use code RealityTV12 to get yourself some amazing meals. HelloFresh, America's number one meal kit. All right, let's dive into some sister wives here. I'm really sad to report that there is no confirmation of a season 16. There was a little hint at a possible season 16 or a special because McKelty went on an Instagram live and said that there were cameras there to film the birth of her child, which means, you know, Tony's getting in a tub with her and it's going to be really awkward. He's probably going to be sweaty and wet hair and making it all about him. It's going to be terrible and wonderful all at the same time. But that said, this could be the last of our sister wives for at least another year or so if we're going on typical sister wives production timeline. So let's just enjoy every last moment of this polygamy hell and everything's upside down episodes. Speaking of the pandemic that I'm going to be speaking about in just a minute, I can hear my daughter doing her virtual PE lesson. So if you hear someone doing squat thrust, it's certainly not me. All right, so jumping into the pandemic that's been going on for 7 weeks, Cody is at his limit here. Hunter is now home and he wants to see everyone. So Cody and all the wives meet at Coyote Pass to figure out a game plan. Hunter wants to see everyone. He may be leaving to go to, I don't know, a base or doing something Air Force-y, and he'll be gone for a while again. So he wants to spend quality time with his family, which I think is actually very sweet. But now we have to go through this whole quarantining and Cody going to Robin's house and then Christine's house and then Janelle's house and then having a 2-week buffer around everything. It's just wild. And this conversation doesn't end up going anywhere. They don't come up with a plan because Cody will only have it his way. It is only Cody's way. And that's not wrong. He isn't wrong. I mean, he is being very safe. He's being logical. But I also see Janelle's point because she's saying if all of us are staying in our bubble, staying in our pod, and we're quarantining and we're all being super safe, why can't we see one another? But then, like Cody's saying, Janelle's kids are not being the safest. Christine is traveling. You guys, I mean, listen, we've all had these exact same discussions with our own family and friends over the last year. So, I mean, do we really need to beat a dead horse anymore? I don't think so. We all get it. So let's move on to Mary's house. Mary and her mom, who I believe just passed away. I could be wrong on that, but if I am, RIP. They're currently still pretending that the B&B is a viable business. They're testing recipes to serve at Lizzie's Heritage Inn. Sure, Mary, Once again, I will just repeat, if you can go look at her very public mortgage documents, she did not tell the mortgage company that she was going to be running a B&B. Anyhow, they're testing these recipes. And according to Lizzie's Heritage Inn website, there's also a family recipe for a delicious pear cheddar pie. And there used to be those cinnamon rolls that you saw them baking. You could buy those cinnamon rolls for like $8 a piece. I'm not making this up. Mother Mary would make them and then mail them out to you the next day. So I'm sure they tasted spectacular 3 days later when you finally got them. But sure, the B&B has guests to serve, so we got to test these recipes. Yeah, that's why Mariah and Audrey are mugging all over for the camera again, because now they're in on this active B&B, right? Ugh, I can't take it anymore. So help me if I see that denim shirt strangling Audrey's neck one more time. That's the only reason that I'm actually very happy this season is over, because I can't take Audrey. So what did we learn from this segment? Nothing about the recipes, nothing about the fake B&B, and nothing about Mariah's blessed marriage that we're all just dying to see. So yay, I guess that means we get to hear it incessantly next season, fingers crossed. Well, fingers crossed about the season, obviously not about seeing Mariah and Audrey. So moving right along, Janelle. She is still on this whole communication mission. Oh, another mission. Oh, we'll talk about the mission statement too in just a second. She's frustrated because no one knows how to communicate with one another. Obviously, because we've been watching this 15 seasons and this has been an ongoing thing. Her idea is that they should come up with the rules of engagement, if you will. How can we set forth the rules, how we're going to talk to one another so that none of us are leaving feeling like Christine, where she's feeling unheard. Well, that's a great idea. Although I'm pretty sure we already went through this with Nancy. Remember, that's where the I don't feel safe phrase comes from that they all say every single time. Well, I would love to talk about that, but it just doesn't feel safe. I don't feel safe. Safe word, safe word. So here we are, Mary saying that she will participate in this rules for communication. But just FYI, me and Cody don't have a relationship anymore. We don't have sex anymore. She just needed to make that clear in case we missed that in the first 9 episodes of this season. So that's set to go. Oh, graduation parade. Don't care. Moving along. Let's go to this discussion at Coyote Pass, where, first of all, if you noticed, something was missing. What was it? See if you can guess before I tell you. Where were they sitting? In the trees, where Mary's house would be, at the picnic tables, which they strategically placed next to the pond. That's right, the Brown family pond. But guess what? Did you see water? Did you see a pond? No, you didn't, because I was right all along. Roll the tape where I schooled the Browns and you guys on grading the land and how builders will grade and flatten out the land and get ready for building and how they dig a big ditch. And that's what, okay, you can go back and you can find it. But listen, I can only tell you how satisfying it was to see that dry bowl of subsoil and rock just beyond Janelle's shoulders. Don't count your ponds before, or actually I should say, don't count your ponds after monsoon season. That's the moral of the story. So let's get to the good stuff here. Janelle basically pulls a Michael Scott boardroom meeting, complete with the markers and the sketch pad, and it goes nowhere because immediately Cody loses his cool. He, in his words, doesn't give a shit about anybody's feelings about COVID and communicating anymore. He even scoffed at the beloved mission statement that we suffered an entire season through, people. And now I'm offended. We should all be offended the way that he brushed that off so easily. And I can see very easily how stressed and frustrated Cody would be hopping from 4 different houses, 4 different wives and kids and all that kind of stuff. But this is literally what he signed up for. This is what he wanted. And this is what he sold to all of his wives in his 18, 19, or maybe 20 with the mysterious brown-headed child. If he wants out of this polygamy hell, in his words, then shit or get off the pot. You gotta let your wives know. Don't go hopping around from Robin's house every few weeks just to show that you're the good guy. You're the guy sacrificing going from house to house. This is his problem. In Cody's passion to find better or do better or be better or live better, become a better family, whatever it is, he's forgotten that he's been expecting four wives and all those kids to put aside their feelings and their goals so he can try this out, so that he can see if a new location is going to be better. This really is about Cody never being satisfied with what he has. And that's where that comment, I want to make sure I say this correctly. Okay, this is his quote. "The family is an obstacle to my own goals." Whoa. Did he ever clarify or expand upon that? No. What are his goals? Why don't you tell us? That's what I would have said. Janelle was mad. She kept her cool. She didn't say anything about it. I'm shocked between the four of them. Well, take Robin out of it, because obviously being with Robin alone with those kids are his goals. But why didn't Christine or Mary or Janelle say, what are those goals? Hold on, stop right there. What are we holding you back from? What are those goals? But no one says anything. I would have ringed him a new one. I would have turned into Kathleen Zellner, demanded to interrogate the witness, interrogate the perp. So I'm having a hard time just with this whole thing. Can you imagine sitting down and your partner or even your best friend were to say, you know what, our relationship, our family, our friendship, our whatever is really an obstacle to my own goals. It is so freaking selfish. But it gets worse, right? We go to Christine's house and Christine wants to move to Utah. And I can see her point, right? Her kids are there. Her friends and family are there. Even Cody said his friends are there, which really just means Tony, right? Like Tony is his only friend. But in the end, Cody did agree maybe moving back to St. George would make life better. In a very long and unfunny analogy, Cody tries to explain to us the difference between Flagstaff and St. George, and he basically tries to plagiarize or rip off or steal Jimmy Soul's lyrics. You guys know the song. I'm probably going to feel really old for you young ones that don't know this, but it goes a little something like this. If you want to be happy for the rest of your life, never make a pretty woman your wife. So from my personal point of view, get an ugly girl to marry you. Boom. That should have been added right at the end of that mission statement. Am I right? All right. Now, in the second hour, we dive back into Isabel's scoliosis journey. And this is where it gets even worse because Cody is an actual monster human being. Damn if I didn't get choked up and want to hug that girl. God, even thinking about her face and how she got up and she couldn't even sit next to him. Ugh. You know, when you have chronic health issues and it involves pain in your bones, that's not something that can be easily tolerated. And this isn't an elective surgery. The fact that Cody was treating spinal surgery as if it's something Isabel is just flippantly wanting to try out. Like, yeah, you know, I mean, sure, let him cut open my back and break or bend my bones in whatever way. That is absolutely absurd. Cody is really showing the actual level of his selfishness at this point. Maybe Robin is the one that's empowering him to do this. Is she whispering in his ear, you know, go ahead and speak your truth. You're the leader of this family, Cody, because he is spending most of his time with Robin. And so far, she's the only one he hasn't trash talk. He's even contemplating adding to that portion of his family. So what can we deduct from all this? Okay, but back to Isabel. When Cody asked her, could you just wait 6 months? I wanted to throw something really hard and really heavy at his face. But then when he asked her if she would be willing to just fly out and do the surgery, like do it alone, are you freaking serious? Most of us would be like, I'll volunteer to go. I don't even know the girl, but I'll go because of course she's not going to go alone. My 10-year-old was in the hospital with his condition, which involves bone inflammation, and he was in some of the worst pain any of his doctors and nurses have seen because it involves the bone. Not that bone pain is worse than any other pain, but regardless, I didn't leave his side in the hospital for a second, and I would do that all over again if he were 16 or 17, just like Isabel. I couldn't imagine it any different. And here we are looking at Isabel in pain because her spine is severely curved, and Cody is asking her to just, you know, take one for the Brown team, suck it up, take some Tylenol. I mean, 6 months, what's the big deal? 6 months goes by so fast. You'll be fine going into surgery and recovering on your own. Fuck him. Fuck him, really. I mean, he saw his daughter sitting there in tears. She's actually begging for spinal surgery. What the hell's wrong with him? He didn't apologize or anything either. When she got up to go inside, he didn't say a damn thing. Would he deny Robin or any of Robin's kids surgery? No, he would never dare be like, oh, Dayton should just go at it alone. What's the other one's names? Brittany and Aurora? I don't know, whatever the hell their names were. Hell no. He's more concerned actually about Solomon not having enough play dates with the other kids in the family. Oh, the family that he's also trying to keep distanced from everyone. Like, you can't tell me Cody wouldn't be spending all of his nights and days with Ari or Solomon or Robin herself if they were in the exact same position. And I think what is not being said in this whole scenario, especially when Christine and Janelle mentioned it, like, we're afraid to say things we'll talk about with each other, but not directly to the person. I wonder if they are implying that they're only living in Flagstaff because that's a place where Dayton can go to college and Dayton can also live at home. Because I think Robin has mentioned that he is on the autism spectrum. I don't know. Don't quote me. Maybe I'm thinking of someone else. But he's the only kid that's going to college and living at home. Everyone else had to go to UNLV. Everyone else had to go do their own thing. So really, Flagstaff is only benefiting Robin, right? All right, so maybe that's why Christine melts down later. It's just way too much for her. She's shared her feelings about moving. Everyone just kind of brushed her to the side. She didn't get the response she wanted. And she's got all of this anger towards Cody about Isabel. I don't blame her. I feel like I'm almost equally as upset as she is. Now, what was weird during that whole thing, I even paused it just to take it in, was Mary grabbing her, bringing her down the path and demanding Christine to look at the mountain. It was very, you know, drink your juice, Shelby, drink your juice, Shelby. Or maybe even a Johan, Alex, Johan mouth, think of Johan. Look at Johan, Johan mountain, Christine. Johan is on that mountain. Just look at him. And Christine's like, no, I don't care about the fucking mountain, Mary. I don't want to look at that mountain. I want a Utah mountain. And I want it as badly as Tony wants his Trace Leches cake and as badly as you want that frickin' banana in your LuLaRoe leggings. You understand now? I don't know where this leaves us. Like I said, are we going to get another season? Christine was clearly alluding to leaving. Well, I guess she wouldn't technically be divorcing since they're not legally married, but she's alluding to leaving Cody and the family. And as much as I'd like to believe she's playing it up, because I do think Christine is very good at TV. She knows how to do a cliffhanger. She knows how to build tension. Those tears were real. And I would applaud her for doing what makes her and her kids happy and for getting the hell out of there if that's what it means. Even if it means, God forbid, we don't get another season of Sister Wives. Or maybe her contemplating moving will ensure another season. That would be good TV. If any of you guys have the scoop, besides what I mentioned about McKelty talking about a birthing special, ew, let me know. It would be a Sweet 16. I was just going to say, we deserve a Sweet 16. Yes, we do indeed. All right. You know what? I haven't even thought of a would you rather for this week. So this is just going to be off the top of my head. Would you rather take Cody down at the knees with like a nice swing kick to the back of the knees and then an uppercut where your hand kind of just goes up into his face? Or would you rather punch him in the gut and then grab him by the hair and bring him down to his back. And then I'll let you give him like one more punch or kick. I know it sounds violent, but let's just remember what he put Isabel through. I'm going to say that kick behind the knees really does something for me. So I'm going to go a little swing kick at the knees, and then we'll see where I go from there. A little MMA action. Sounds good. All right. You know what else sounds good? Patreon this week. Link is in the show notes, and we'll be covering Teen Mom and Seeking Sister Wife. Total Request Podcast, we'll be covering A Teacher and Mad Men. Go ahead and leave me a 5-star review if you would. Thank you very much. I really appreciate it. And until 2 weeks, I believe, take care of yourselves, get yourself vaccinated, wear a damn mask. I love you guys. Stay salty.